I quoted last week that someone brought me one of the books when they were in class. This has been several years ago, but it was a class on stages of human communication. That was where the development of human communication. And then it said this, according to the fossil, this is how the book said it, according to fossil records, painstakingly accumulated, that man goes back to at least 70 million years ago, and says there are certain rat-like creatures seem to be our most remote ancestors. Then it went on to say 5.5 million years ago, humanoid primates came. 2 million years ago, some used tools. They were about 3 feet tall with long arms and lived in trees. Then about a half a million years ago, the Neanderthal man came. Small brain, big head, powerful teeth. Later became something called a Cro-Magnon, which is more like us. And then we said, well, where in the world would they get this? Because they don't get it from the fossils and they don't get it from the Bible. Truth is, they don't get it. And that's the bottom line. And in Genesis chapter 1, we looked at verse 26 and 27 and his very powerful statement. And if you go back to the scripture, that's the key. And what does the scripture say? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Now, this statement is powerful because it's God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit speaking. That's why it says, let us. And then it says, make man in our image, the image of God. And he's not talking about a physical image necessarily here. He's talking about that image that has the mind, the emotion, the will, the part that has the Word of God written in our hearts, the part that has eternity written in our hearts, all of that aspect that makes us separate from any other thing. And then he said, and go ahead and let them have rule over fish and birds and cattle and everything that creeps upon the earth and is on the earth. And I want you to know that if there was an evolutionary process, man would not have dominion over everything. We know that when God created man, he put man right there, and man immediately had dominion over all the earth. He goes on to say, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. If you remember in Genesis chapter 1, he gives you the summary, gives you the creation of the 6 days, but then he gives you the summary of mankind. He puts it right there. He said he created man, male and female, he created them. Now, we don't get the details till you get to chapter 2, where he creates the man, and then he takes the man and creates the woman from out of the man. So that's, but he gives us this idea that God makes man in his own image. Now, we said that evolution teaches that there were these lower life forms that evolved into higher life forms, and as time went by, it's now evolved to the highest life form, which is us. So we are the highest of the animals. We're really no different than other animals, except we've evolved enough that our brains are better, and we think differently. They said that in between human beings and really most would say some type of ape, there was something that we were there. There was an ape, and then us, and then mankind, and then mankind as we are today. And so a prehistoric man, there's the missing links. And the question is, where are the missing links then? And they talk about the fact that Darwin said this, in the evolutionary process, man evolved from the old world apes, gorillas, and they are man's immediate ancestors. I mentioned to you last week that the thing that I didn't understand growing up, because I never went to church, I wasn't a Christian, didn't know the Bible, didn't know anything, but I did know that I heard that there was an Adam and Eve. I heard that, and I believe that. I did. I said it must have been Adam and Eve. But what I couldn't understand is when I was in school and they would teach about the Cro-Magnon and the Neanderthal and something that's crawling up and has all been over and looks like an ape and then something else. And I said, well, where, if those were first people, what did Adam and Eve look like? Would they look like that? What I'd always heard about Adam and Eve was like he was handsome and she was beautiful and they were the first two people. But how did these other things fit then? I never could put this together. And I'm glad I didn't put it together because it didn't fit. But anyway, we've seen drawings of Java Man and Neanderthal Man and the Dawn Man. And where do they fit and all of those things? We said, why would even scientists say that we are descendants from apes? Well, because there's the comparative anatomy, as a lot of people say, and do all of that. The problem today is you've got not only the world system that says mankind just evolved up, but you've got a lot of Christians who say, I'm a Christian, I've trusted in Christ. Now, when I look at the Bible, I don't see it in this way. I see that this is not necessarily a literal thing, but it's something else. W.B. Scott is a professor at Princeton. I quoted this last week. He says, after all, what we want to show and what we want the most is not the missing link, but the whole chain which shows the descent of man. The problem is in many of the fossils, we got fossils of apes, we got bones of man, but we don't have any in-between thing. There should be thousands of missing links, not one. Hugh Ross, who's an evolutionist, and he's a Christian, and he's a what we call a progressive creationist or a scientific evolutionist, says, and we taught this back when we looked at this, he says that the days in the Genesis were long, long periods of time. There were creatures before Adam that were different. They were like people, but they were man-like creatures, but they didn't have a God awareness. They walked on two legs. They used tools. They had larger brains than other animals. They roamed in the earth about a million years ago, but they're not the same as man that we find in the Bible, Genesis 1. He would say that there were long periods of time in Genesis and that there were these subhumans that existed. And that's how he ties in with what he wants to do. I don't agree with that. I don't think that the Bible teaches that at all. I think when we look at the scripture, we see that it says God created man in his image. Now, we got the pictures. Here's the first. This is some of the ones we looked at last week. Here's the first one. I'm going to give you some of them. What they found is they found teeth and jaw fragments thought to be the missing link. This is what they drew, and they said, now this is what man looked like before we are now, but it ended up being really just a baboon. Richard Leakey found it, and it was partial. They said it must be partial man, partial something else, but they came up and found that it was probably a baboon. The second one was called Lucy, and they found this incomplete skeleton. I've got some. Richard Leakey also found this one. They ended up realizing that it was just a chimp, had a face of a chimp, but they drew it. And for a long time, people would say, "We have found the missing link. Lucy is the half man, half ape. Lucy is the one that we've waited for." But they found out that it was just a chimp. The third one is called the Peking man, and there were no fossils found. Most of them were lost during World War II, but it turned out probably just apes. What they found is they found some teeth, 14 skulls all in a big section there, and they all said, okay, this has got to be this lost group of subhuman sort of in between, but they found out that ultimately they were just apes, and they lost most of the pieces during World War II. The fourth one we saw last was called Java Man. It was discovered in the 1800s. And let me give you more information. Java Man, they saw some drawings on a cave. They assumed that approximately 500,000 years ago, a man by the name of Du Bois, an anthropologist, was digging in a riverbank in Java in the late 1800s. He found that, here's what, I brought this out last week, but this is what I want you to show you. Because see, when I was a kid, I thought they found a picture of a guy that looked like this. See, I thought, okay, how do they, this man's going across the book and he looks like this. And so I said, wow, that's what they look like. But what I found out is when you study on this Java man, that what they found is a molar tooth, and then a month later, about 3 feet away, they found the top part of a skull. 1 year later, they found a thigh bone, which was 50 feet away from these original things. Another month later, they found another tooth. So in a total of about 2 years, they found four bones, two teeth, and a thigh bone, and they drew and came up with that right there. And they said, that's what this person looked like. And they said it was the missing link, the Java man. Well, the bottom line is when they made the drawings and they did all this, in about 1895, the International Congress on Zoology in Germany said, we can't be certain. And then they'd been put in a closet for 28 years and saying, Java Man has, you know, he's found him in 1923. The conclusion from the scientific world was, well, best we can tell, that's just an ordinary human being. Of what the bones that we have, that I don't know how, they might even say it this way, I don't know how you came up with that drawing, but that's not what we find. Ultimately, it was announced it was a fraud. No proof. Takes us to the fifth one called the Nebraska Man. And as I mentioned last week, that is not an offensive lineman for the Nebraska football team, although they are pretty big and strong. In 1922, they found a tooth in Nebraska. And that's what they drew from the tooth. Publicly declared to be the missing link. Do you know what they found out it was? It was a fraud. It was a wild pig's tooth. But for a long time, it was announced that this is it. This is the man we've all been looking for. Okay, the next one was called the Piltdown Man, found in Britain 40 years. 40 years, the Piltdown Man, called the Don Man. A man by the name of Dawson in 1908 were digging in Piltdown, England, in a gravel pit. They found a small skull. A few years later, they found two more parts to a skull. Another year later, they found a half a jawbone. So they took these three things, small skull, parts to a skull, and a jawbone, and they formed together this person right here and called them the Piltdown Man. They discovered after 40 years of saying the Piltdown Man was the missing link that it was a fake. In fact, I've got a quote here. This is from the Smithsonian Institute in Washington. It says, called The Great Piltdown Man Hoax. And here's what they said. Careful detective work was done by Dr. J.F. Weiner and others and revealed that the lower jawbone and the canine tooth were actually those of a modern ape, deliberately altered, filed down, so to resemble fossil specimens. The faker had also fossilized the jaw and the teeth by staining them with a mahogany color with iron salt and something else. And so he stained it to make it look like it was old. He filed it down, whoever did it, but they ended up saying it was a fraud. It took 40 years for them to realize it was a fraud. But even the Smithsonian Institute has said, obviously, that's not the one. It's amazing to me that they keep trying to find it and say, we think we found the one. And yet there's not one. There would be thousands of them, not one. There would be so many we couldn't even know what to do with them. Let's look at the next one. Next one's called the Heidelberg Man. He's always carrying an animal on his back. I'm not sure why. Jawbone was found in 1907. Turns out it was a human being. It was not a missing link. It was not a subhuman. They found the jawbone in Moor, Germany. Rounded chin. They said, oh, rounded chin must be subhuman. But when they found out today, the more study they did, they said, well, obviously it just must be a human being. It's not something else. And then last but not least, the famous Neanderthal man, holding, I don't know, is that a loaf of bread? What could that be? It's actually, he's going to smush somebody's head because we all know that Neanderthals are just subhuman-type people with little bitty brains that just grunt and crush each other, and that's what we are, and that's, you know, all the movies that you've ever seen of cave people, that's who they are. It was found in a cave in western Germany, small skull brain capacity. I mentioned this last week. 1,330 centimeter brain capacity, caveman, pre-human. They said other places are very similar, like the Peking man and the Rhodesian man, and Neanderthal was going to be used as this word to describe the subhuman ape man. And they said things like this, you know, as we look at the best we can tell in the anthropology around this, that they buried their dead and they used fire and they made weapons and they had a fairly highly developed culture. Well, what they really realized as I've got up there is they found out it was a human being because they found out that the brain size was actually greater than the average brain size of an average American. They just had measured it all wrong, and they said, well, they're not really subhumans after all. So many of these prehistoric men are not really anything but either apes or hoaxes or just people. Now, I know that the fallen world who didn't have God and they don't have truth and they don't have a way to explain where they came from and where they're going, they'll look for anything they can find to say, look, this is us. This is what we are. It is amazing that when you look at it, you either go back to the Bible and say that you are made in the image of God, you are special and unique, you have a God awareness, eternity in your heart, the law of God written in your heart, Romans chapter 2, eternity in your heart, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, you are unique and special and different than anything else, and Jesus Christ died for you, or you have to go to the human reasoning that says you started as a slime thing and came all the way up, and just after all these years, you're nothing more at this stage than a real smart, the smartest of the monkeys, basically, because you've just come up to be that. And there's no telling if another million or two or three years go on what we're going to evolve into, because it's just so happens so slow you can't see it. Well, I did find one other thing. Rick Grimes helped me find this. And local information, this is about, what is it, Rick, 3 or 4 years ago or 5 years ago, we found this, that people... A scientist has come up that we are not descendant from apes, but something else. I think we can go ahead and throw it up on the slide, that we're descendant from the flea. Stunning new scientific evidence proves man descended from the flea. Now, you see the flea, and then the flea, as time went by, began to have shorter legs and longer, and then got almost where it stood up right, and then, of course, continued to grow and got up about 3 feet tall, and then later became the guy with the stick in his hand. And looks pretty good. But here's what this man says. His name is Dr. Delier. He says, mankind isn't descended from apes, as some experts say. The real truth is the first human race evolved from fleas. And he says that there were hopping insects mutated about 8 million years ago, producing a separate strain of fleas which developed increasingly human traits. He goes on to say that we found some fossil remains that show that some fleas grew larger when they were living on the sides of dinosaurs, and they developed these longer and more powerful hind legs. Now, he says gradually the upper legs disappeared and their middle legs lengthened and developed to hand-like appendages. And then his theories have met with some opposition. The article goes on to say his theories have met with some opposition among fellow anthropologists, but the scientist is confident in his conclusions. He has found a full range of flea fossils in his digs in Kenya and shared these drawings with these readers. He says, after a few million years of development, the new flea stood about 3 feet tall, had human-like hands and feet, and was able to make and use tools, said the 73-year-old scientist. Now, here's the last line, the last statement. He says, the flea man had totally developed into a human being about 2 million B.C. Dr. Derriere says that although early human beings at that time still hopped around like fleas when they were frightened. And so when people got afraid about 2 million, they hopped like fleas. And I just wanted to throw this out because I think this may be the answer that the scientists have been looking for. It's the flea. It's not really an ape, it's a flea. Anyway, if you ever want to see that article, I got it for you if you want to keep it. Well, before I go any further, you can please take the flea off. And before we go any further, we got about 10 minutes. And before we get in any questions, anything about some, I don't know all the stuff. So I've just done whatever research I can find on some of these so-called Lucy and Piltdown Man and Don Man and Neanderthal and all of that. I've done anything I can, you know, just what I can find, which is not a whole lot, but just to show that almost all of them are frauds. I mean, they're either people or a fraud or it was some type of baboon or ape. There is no intermediate one. There is not a thing. And if there was, if we had evolved, there would be thousands, not just one or two, but thousands of things that you could find that would say, look, this is, and I believe it was Rick or whoever brought it up last week, that usually in this whole so-called evolutionary process, that one species disappears as the next thing evolves, but they're still apes. And where are the half, where is the intermediate ones? And, you know, so what, any questions or anything before we look at something else? Were you taught that these things were real? How many were taught that? I was taught that. I was taught to believe all that stuff. I didn't know. I still, even when I heard all that, and I can remember, now this makes me mad, but in the seventh grade, my science fair project was taking man from the slime and moving him to something else and to something else, to some kind of thing that crawled and then to the ape and then to the man. That was my science project that I turned in. Didn't get a very good grade on it because I didn't do very good. But that was my project. I can remember thinking, okay, now. But all the while I did that, I thought, I wonder where Adam and Eve are in this thing. I figured maybe that the only way I could figure this thing out, if Adam and Eve were really the first two human beings, then maybe all the way up, this Cro-Magnon, this all this stuff, they weren't really human beings. And then suddenly, they developed to be like exactly like we are now, and that was Adam and Eve. That's all I could figure. But when you go to the scripture, what do you see? You see that God created man in his image just like that. Okay, questions, comments before we go further? Yes. Like different races, different things? The best we can tell is that when God created human beings and then when they all spread out from Adam and Eve, that he fixed it in the genetic code of human beings that they're going to be different. And you know that when you think of, reality, we say we go back to Adam and Eve, but we also all go back to Noah and his wife and Ham, Shem, and Japheth and their three wives, because all of the human beings were destroyed off the face of the earth. And so we all came from these eight people. If you notice in the scripture that Shem, this Ham, Shem, and Japheth, Ham went from the south when he came off the ark in Ararat, which is Turkey, went toward the southerly way. And the best that we can tell, the Hamites all became what is the southern part, the Africa and that part of the world. You look at Shem. Shem stayed in that region and moved toward the sort of what we'd call the Babylonian Iraqi region, and which where Abraham came from. Japheth moved back toward, best we can tell, toward to what we'd call modern-day Europe. Some people have actually said that the Europeans are descendants of Japheth, and the African part of the world is descended of the Hamites, and the Arabs and Jewish people and Oriental part are descended of Shem. That's what some people say. I don't know. And how we're different is because, best I can tell, is God, in His wisdom, grace, ever how He did it, He made human beings different, and He made what we might call different races. He just did that. And in reality, all the races came from Noah and his sons. I hope that helps. I don't know any other answers. He didn't really tell us.
There's a man in the ICR, which is the Institute of Scientific Creation, and he has a tape and a book out on this very thing.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that. I've also heard that as they spread out all over the world, when people live closer to the equator, they, in a sense, inside the race that would be able to have darker skin for protection, they move further away from the equator, lighter skin. That's what I've heard that as well. So, but that doesn't necessarily answer the race aspect of it. But I think God just put it in people that they're going to be different. Rick. Right. Rick says that if you take the Bible literally and say that there are 6 days of creation, you're not going to have any kind of time there to have all these missing links and subhumans and all of that. The only thing they do, Rick, is we would agree that if you take 6 literal days, you're not going to have long periods of time. But what some would do is they would say between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, they would say there was a gap there, and that first part from the creation to the time that he actually started doing day one, day two, day three, that there's this gap, and in that gap is where he had this other world, so to speak, of dinosaurs and subhumans and all these different forms of subhumans, and then he sort of started over after the gap. That's what some would say. I don't hold to the gap, as you know, for a number of reasons. One is that the language doesn't give you a gap there. It's the way it's written, I think, in the Greek. I mean, the Hebrew is, it's what they call a verb disjunctive, which means it's making a statement and then he's explaining the statement. I don't see a gap. Some people do. But that's the only way I think they could try to get with that, Rick, is to say the big gap is there. Anything else? Well, maybe we could get some Nebraska men for offensive linemen next year, and that would just help us a little bit, but I think we're fine as we are. When you look in the Bible, our summary, and we're going to be finishing it up next week, but let's go back to this bottom line, because we got about, is the first bell ring yet? It has not. Okay. Wow, thanks for keeping, if y'all got the signs ready and everything? Okay, good. When it goes back to it, we have to look at either one or two ways all this fits together. Either there's an evolution or there's a creation. The evolution says there's a process in which the world and mankind evolve from a non-living to living, from very simple to complex, going upward. Until we are the highest form, and that's mankind. All of this world, in a sense, came by chance, mutation, change, an involvement from simple to complex. Now, that's the evolution form. And that means all of us, let's just face it, if we hold to that, all of us are nothing more. There is no God. There is no life other than this. This is it. When you die, you die. And you're just the highest form of any kind of thing that's ever lived on this earth. You happen to be the smartest. First bell. Okay? You happen to be the smartest. And this is all you got. And that when you die, you cease to exist. And you're just like my dog Sugar when he dies. I don't want my girls to do that. But when he dies, that will be the end of Sugar. Okay? Or we look at the Bible and we say that by and power and the act of a creator. He brought all this world into being. Spoke it into being. And as Christians, we believe that God spoke and brought all things into being. And by His wisdom and His power, He brought us into existence. That He created the world in, I think, 6 days. Put man as the crowning of the creation. Put him to have dominion over all the world. And that we are unique and special, and there's nothing going to ever be like us. That God wants a relationship and fellowship with the top of His creation, human beings, and that when that He has placed inside of us eternity and right and wrong, as we've seen from the book of Romans, and that when you die, you don't cease to exist. You're not an animal that's just going to play out and be put in the ground, and that's the end of it. Your body may go into the ground, but your soul and spirit, you're going to either be spending eternity with Jesus Christ or you're going to spend eternity separated from God. It's just that simple. Now, when I look at Scripture, Scripture doesn't say anything about man's wisdom being right. In fact, we're going to see next week as we get ready to finish our study, we're going to make a contrast between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man, and we'll see what the Bible has to say. And when mankind says, you an animal, top of the animal heap, but you're an animal, and there's no telling what you're going to be someday if millions of years pass. When I see that, I don't see that anywhere at all in the Scripture. I don't see it measuring up. I don't see it adding up. I see the Scripture saying the exact opposite, that you are created by God and unique and special. We have seen evolution, creation, compared them. We looked at the gap. We looked at the day age. We looked at dinosaurs. We looked at the flood. We looked at prehistoric man. What view do you take? Creation, God's word, evolution, man's wisdom. R.C. Sproul said this. He says, those who deny there is a purpose behind everything that happens, and that our destiny is shaped by an all-knowing, all-powerful being, will respond differently in life than believers. Let me tell you, the fallen world looks at life totally different than you do. Totally different. That's why I mentioned in Sunday morning about how that mankind, fallen mankind, is swift to shed blood. That's why a person will kill somebody for $40. Because they don't look at life the way we look at it. They don't see the value of human life. They don't see the eternality of life in our existence. They don't see that we're created in the image of God. Fallen world has been taught that you're just the highest form of animal and this is all you got, so you better get all you can get while you're here. They view the world totally different than we do. We're going to see some of that. We're going to look at God's wisdom, the wisdom of the world. We're going to see... I got something that I want us to see next time. What happens? What happens if we do not see ourselves as created by God? There are really three things, and they're pretty sad. I'm going to bring those up next week, and then we'll finish the study. If there's something you're interested in studying, be sure and let me know, because we're just about through. Next week will probably be the end. Okay, questions, comments before the second bell? Anything? Freddie? Oh, there is? I can't remember what it is. Oh, yeah. Yeah, here it is. If we are what they think we are, we need to go ahead and get Almost People magazine, which is 15 tips for speeding up evolution, how to find the gorilla of your dreams, beating banana addiction, is jaw surgery right for you, reduction of jaw surgery, nitpicking made easy, refining your grunts, making the leap to language. Anyway, that would be a good book, a good magazine to read if you hold to evolution. Almost People magazine. Thanks, Freddie. I forgot all about that one. I like that. I think we got a copy in the church library if you're interested in that. Okay, anything else? Yeah, Sarah. Where's the donut list, and has everybody signed it? Is it being signed pretty good? Yes. There's only one left? Listen, there's only one space left to bring donuts. Yeah, leave it for Sonny. Second bell has not rung. Okay, but it's been about 8 minutes since the first bell rang. So let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks so much for our class and this time. Lord, help us as we look at this. Lord, we know that how we view life and how we view what you've done and how we view the Bible and how we view ourselves, how we view all that is going to make a difference on how we live and what we do. Lord, thank you that we are created in your image, special and unique. Nobody like us. and that you love us and you love us so much you'd send your son to die for each one of us. Whether we were the only person in the world, Jesus would have still died for us. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. Help us, Lord, to understand it and be ready to tell others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.